Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
We are in Ezekiel chapter number 20. Ezekiel chapter number 20. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 33. And I'm going to read down through 38. Let me read through 38. Ezekiel chapter 33 through 38. Well, Ezekiel 20. I'm sorry, Gary. You gave me that look. I've had Noah getting the Ten Commandments. I nearly had John the Baptist on a donkey one night. I mean, you just got to be, you know. I'm like, Gary, once you've wrecked the train so many times, you just keep on riding the train. Amen. Ezekiel 20, verse 33. Is that where everybody's at? Amen. And I don't know how long I'll read. Just let me start reading. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you, and here's what I'm preaching on tonight, to pass under the rod. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Father, I thank you for this night. And for the chance to be in your house again, Lord. And what a privilege it is to be here behind your desk with people in front of me tonight. And Lord, it's a joy to see the faces of some I haven't seen in some time. Brother Brant's read the list of things that's occurring in our country, in our nation, and in our world. And Lord, we rest in you tonight. I rest in the Almighty God of heaven. And I'm asking you tonight to fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of the Holy Writ and use this word to touch people. God, and use people to glorify you. And Lord, that we would come forth shining as gold for the cause of Christ and the kingdom. Bless this word, this night, this time, for your glory, I ask it in the name of the King. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to try to preach for a little while tonight on passing under the rod. Now we have in Leviticus, you're going to come to a place concerning a sacrifice, and the sacrifice passed under the rod. And what it was going to do, it was going to qualify whether that sacrifice was eligible or not by the passing. In other words, it's the inspection place. So we come here to Ezekiel. Let's set the foundation, if we may. Ezekiel's about a year into his ministry right here, maybe a little more. The children of Israel have been in captivity in Babylon for about 7 years, according to the first part of this chapter. So we've got a people that's been there a while, and this preacher shows up because he didn't go in the first round of captives. he kind of went in the middle round, and they brought him in. He's been preaching to them for over a year, and really, they don't like what he's got to say. He's saying some pretty harsh things about them. He's preaching to them here about them over there, and it's for us here today. Isn't it marvelous how the Word of God works? Just marvelous. So a year into this thing, here's what happens. Some of the elders, here's what we have. You can study it at home, but we have a request of the elders. The elders show up and they say, we'd hear a word from the Lord. In other words, are you telling us the truth? Is this what God says, or have you made this up? What's the deal? We would hear, their request was, the elders, they come and they sit before this prophet. They want to hear something. I'm not to preach in doom and gloom tonight. But I do have a question for the congregation and for those. Is this thing working? Well, just turn it off. I have a question for you that are here. And don't answer. I'm not looking. I'm not. I wonder how many people is going to come looking for a word of the Lord if this thing lets up. Or if they've got satisfied, it's not too bad to stand at the home and watch it on Facebook. Maybe I just stay at the house. I watch it in my pink house shoes and my big, you know, my big nightgown. I'll never forget Sister Blanche. Blanton's gone to heaven. I'll never forget the first time I met her personally, face to face. I seen her in church that night. I preached at Mike Blanton's church up in Ohio, in Grove City when he pastored there. And I met Blanche. And that morning I went down from the motel. I went down to get some breakfast. Here come this woman that's had her hair all, had one of them things around her head, and this big house coat on and big pink fuzzy slippers. And she's just strolling through like she owns a place. I thought, my goodness, I think that's Mike's mama. She said, are you that little preacher that preached last night? I said, that'd be me. She said, I love you. She is my friend ever since. Now, she's just Blanche all the time. The 15 years I knew her, there she was. Wherever she's always the same. That is her. But she, look, hey, you know why she's dressed that way? It's comfortable that way. I mean, it takes a little something to get up and do your hair and put your makeup on or put your suit on, put a tie on, or just get cleaned up. Just take a bath, you know. Take a shower. Hey, it takes a little effort. Drive. Some of you drive 20, 30 minutes. Junior drives nearly an hour. Hey, it's quite an effort. I'm wondering if they're going to make a request and say, I would hear something from God. I hope so. I hope so. Number two, in this chapter, you're going to see this. Then you're going to see, not the request of the elders, you're going to see the response of the Lord. And here's what he says, I ain't talking to you. You're going to make a request of me? You're where you're at because of you. I've been talking to you for a long time. You won't listen to what I got to say. Maybe I'll just sit here for a while and see if you really want to hear from me or not. So this is Wednesday. Hey, now this is the butter crowd here tonight, preacher. Don't get too rough on us. Oh, it's going to get sweet. You got to get all the ingredients in. The response of the Lord. Well, let me just read it. I'm like, Gary, I got focused here. Son of man, speak unto the elders and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you. Pretty tough. Now, we've been in captivity for 7 years. These people have been there 7 years. You can look at the first part of this chapter, find out how long they've been there. This boy has been preaching a little over a year. He's a year in this ministry, maybe a little, maybe close to two. But even at that, that's pretty hard preaching. But number three, when he does begin to speak, you know what he does? You know what he does? He reminds them of their history. He reminds them of why they're there. He's saying, look, here's what happened. God been talking to you ever since he called you out of Egypt, and he's been trying to speak to you ever since, and you went from the best nation in the world to the most powerful nation known to man. Everything was good. Is this sounding familiar? Everything was good. Everybody had a refrigerator full. Hey, everybody had a job. Everything was good. We was fed up, fattened up. We was doing real good, but you quit listening to me. You preached it. What was prosperity? Ease. Careless ease. Careless ease. I don't know about you. 10 years ago in a revival, I don't remember where I was. And it's seldom I remember what I say, but I remember this. I said, if things continue as they go, they won't nobody be coming to church in 10 years. And self-assurance. The response. Then he reminds them of their history. I wish I'd written the man's name down. He said this, history has taught us one thing, that we don't learn anything by history, from history. Is that an oxymoron or is that just a true statement? I mean, history's taught us one thing, we don't learn anything from history. We do the same thing that they've done over and over, and we don't learn by mistakes, and we should see, and all the nations, and the nations blame God, and they don't want to be religious. And here's what the world, here is the view of the world. A census was taken. This has been 5 or 6 years ago. Census was taken and said, what's the number one problem in the world? And from the countries around the world, Brother David, they said Israel and Christians. If you just get rid of them Jews and them Christians, this would be a good place to live. They're going to get their wish. They're going to get their wish. And if Brother Brant's read these little notes, it seems it may be closer than they think. But you want to see the goodness of God? Watch this. I have read, after some very learned men, doctors of theology that know the Hebrew, they could read the Torah in the original language. I mean, men, they understand some of the words, they even write it in some of the commentary I'm reading. They'll be going along and they'll throw it in the natural Hebrew in there, and I'm going, what'd they do that for? Now I don't know what it says. I don't know what that means. But I'm reading this today, and even my Bible says the future judgment of Israel. Yours may have the same heading over these scriptures I've read this evening. Let me share something with you, and I'm going to throw three things at you and have you out of here before 10 o'clock. He said, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And all of them said, ho. Said that God's going to put the fury on them. All of them agree. I didn't read one that disagreed with this. All that I read at Wiersbe, all of them. More modern guy, Wiersbe. But some of these guys go way back. Henry, 1798, somewhere in there for him. All of them agree. Oh, this is it. He's going. But here's my thought. Something poured out. It's finished. Watch this. And I'll bring you out from the people. That's exactly what needed to happen. If that's judgment, I'm saying put it on us, Lord, and take us on out of here. Even so, come. Better not go down that road. I'll bring you out. I'll gather you out of the countries. Wherein you're scattered. That's exactly what needs to happen. How's he going to do it? With the mighty hand. And with the stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Now, maybe I'm wrong. It's two left feet here. I don't know. But when the arm is outstretched, brother, it's not going to do you damage. If that arm is withdrawn and the fist is balled up, you may get your mouth mashed. But if that arm is extended, I can't do a thing but help this man. He said, I'll stretch my arm out. My fury's poured out. I'm not seeing the fury in this. He's saying this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you out of where you are. That's a good thing. They've been in the wrong place too long. They need to be pulled out. What happens to him? He said, I'm gonna plead with you face to face. My word, that sounds like a good deal to me. So he spoke to Moses on the mountain. Moses couldn't see him. He's in the cloud, but he's face to face with him. It means the proximity of God to them. There he is. And I'm going to do it like I've done it to your fathers in the wilderness. Let's say that it is referring to the wrath of God being poured out upon them. I don't see how his arm being stretched out to him and him talking to him face to face. Brother Jimmy, I don't see how that's a bad thing. How can that be considered the great wrath of God? I don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not seeing that. Then he says this. I'm going to cause you to pass under the rod. Oh, now, hey, just train wrecked all them scriptures I read right there. If it's about the being poured out, I'm thinking when that thing's poured out, it's done. You can't put the water back in the glass. You can't do it. But I'm going to have you to pass under the rod. Now, that has this implication in mind. It's in reference to a shepherd. You're going to sing my invitation. It implies a shepherd. He's the one with the rod. And he says this. He says, here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to bring you out of all them countries. Now, I agree. I'm 100% aligned with them that this is not speaking to the time of when they come out of Babylon and built the second temple with Zerubbabel and them, because countries is plural here. And he brought them out of a country. They came out of Babylon, of the Chaldees. So something's amiss here if it's just one place. No, it's more than one place he's bringing him out of. So I don't think it would qualify for the second temple building. There's got to be another time and another place that this is in reference to. He's going to find them from all over this globe. Hey, coronavirus isn't going to slow them down. He's going to bring them all out. And when he does, they're going to pass under the rod. Now, passing under the rod does this. It shows the position. What is that? Well, the position is close. Somebody say hello. The position is close. When the rod, look, in order to pass under the rod, you can't be somewhere else. You got to be where he is. Is anybody with me? You got to be where he's at if you're going to pass under the rod. Yes, Spiritually, that's what we do when we come into the house of God. I'm going to tell you, I've had my closest experiences was just God and myself. But those are, I can count them on one hand how many times that's happened. Now, I mean, I'm not trying to get out there super spiritual on you, but I'm speaking to supernatural. I'm talking whether in the body or out of the body, I didn't know. I mean, I was somewhere else when I finally surrendered to preach. I don't know what happened. It was so foggy I couldn't see to drive. I was driving Steve Galloway's S10 pickup. And I was headed to work in Dixon, Tennessee at a tile plant. I couldn't stand it. I hated it over there. He had me in a place and it got so foggy I couldn't even see the road. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost filled the cab of the truck, the Shekinah glory. And God said, you better preach, son. You better preach. And by the time I got the Caney Fork, I was saying, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm not saying everyone has that experience, but that's how it happened to me. Maybe I'm just so dumb he had to do it that way. But not every experience is the same. And I'm not trying to be some super duper, but in order to pass under the rod, we come in this, and corporate worship, though, is something special. I know when Dean's about to blow off. I've been around her all my life. And when she starts percolating, I'm looking around to see who it's going to scare the most. And when she blows off, it never fails. If I'm looking at the right one, they go, ah! They nearly do it themselves. I can't get that by myself. I can't get that by myself. I can't get these babies by myself. And when we come in here, it is a type of passing under the rod. We got to get close to him, and he indwells. He inhabits the praises of Israel, and we're grafted in. And when we begin to praise him, we're in the very presence of God. And you know what we're doing? We're passing under the rod. It's the position that he shows. Remember this in Luke. Let me look at my scripture. Luke, remember in Luke in 4, he said, yeah. He said, but what if he loses? What if he's got 90 and 9 and there's one gone? Well, he's going to leave the 90 and 9. God, I'm about to jump a bench. He's going to leave the 90 and 9 and he's going to go after that one. He's going to bring... He's going to bring that one back so he'll have 100. Woo! He started with 100. And that's what he's going to end with. He is faithful. Hallelujah. You know what to do? Pass under the rod. The position, it is this. You've got to be close if you're passing under the rod. Number two. My goodness. Number two is this. I had to get my scripture. Number two, the purpose of passing under the rod. Well, why does he let him? Why does he do that? Well, the position of passing means that you're close. The purpose of passing is this, that he counts them. One. 2,000,020. I just read this morning. I'm back in Numbers again. It's a difficult book to read. I don't like numbers. Now, I like numbers of people, but I like the people. I'm just not a numbers guy. I'm just always bad at math. They say it's easy. 1 and 2. 1 plus 1 is 2. I know. But when you get to adding letters into the numbers, you just train wreck me. What moron thought you need to do that? Won't you just put another number up there? So obviously, they's that much smarter than I am. I'm dumb as a brick, but I just got problems with that. But I'm smart enough to know this, that the Lord said, don't you number the Levites. You can't count them. You cannot count the Levites. Yeah, but they're part of us. I don't care if they're part of us. You can't count them. Because only I am going to number the Levites. 1, 2, he's counting them. Everyone passing under that rod, brother. 2 Timothy chapter 2, about verse 18 or 19, he says this, the foundation of God stands is sure, and God knoweth them that are his. I thought you was going to sing, he knows my name. He knoweth them that are his. He knows it. How does he know? Because he counts you. I was having a pretty good year preaching one time over in Old Sanctuary. I don't know. I don't think I was pastoring yet. I might have just started. I don't think I was. No, Delmer was still here. I know Delmer was here. And things was going pretty good. I hadn't seen hundreds saved like some of these guys and some of these places. And I'm telling you, unless I'm pretty confident that they got saved, I'm not even going to mark them down. I probably shouldn't be marking them down anyway. Lord said, I'll count them. But I asked the Lord for 50 souls. I didn't think that was an unusual number, Larry. I thought 50 was a good mark. Let me see 50 people saved, Lord. And I saw 49 people saved. 49. And when I told Delmer that, that's how I know he's still here. Because when I told Delmer, he got all broke up about it. He said, I'm going to pray that you get that 50th one. You know what the best thing ever happened to me was? I got 49. You know the purpose of passing under the rod? So he can count you. He just gonna count you. Isn't it good to be his tonight? Isn't it good to be his? Now, let me go one more. I'll quit right here. We know the position is this, Brother Dennis. We got to be close to pass under that rod. And we can't. The purpose of it is that he can count us. He wants to count you. Now look, I loved what you said tonight. I'm going to use that. I'll give you credit for it the first time. And after that, I'm going to say it's mine. But he said this. God is always in favor of your future. You'll never say any more profound statement than that in the rest of your life. Because that's exactly right. God is in favor of your future. Now, you may train wreck it. You may make total disaster. It may be carnage and chaos. I don't know. But it's not God's fault. God is in favor of your future because he's done everything he's going to do to make your future different than what it is or what it was. So in that, the purpose is in that he can count us. Now, number three is this, that he wants. We see in this, see, when they're passing under the rod, every now and then, there are no outstanding individuals. Everyone is of the same importance. And there's no big eyes. Don't matter how fat this sheep is. This one can bear. This one can't. This is a ewe. This is a ram. This is a little lamb. It don't matter. They're all going to get counted because they're passing under the rod. He's going to bring them all in from all the countries. You heard him say it concerning Israel. Now, how about us as the body of Christ here? Don't we pass under the rod? Have we not in the position he brought us in that for purpose so we would be close to him? And he does this. He counts us. That's the purpose. But here is the protection. You're passing under the rod of God. I'm just going to tell you. Now, I'm not going to go lick doorknobs or none of this kind of foolish stuff and craziness, but I'm convinced, unless I just do something stupid, God's going to take care of me to the ultimate. There's nothing going to touch me, Tommy. It didn't come through his hands. I believe it. I believe today God knew where Keith Turner's mound was. And Calvin said this. Calvin said, Mike, I said, Calvin, it's just out of order in my eyes. 52 years old, gone out of order. He said, Mike, he said, I agree. But he said, you know what I thought? I'm a little jealous. I'm a little jealous. He said, he's up there with mom and dad and the Lord and everybody. Said, they're just all there. Said, there they are. Do you know that's how we believe? Do you know that is our faith? That's what we believe. Brother Jim, that's what we believe. We believe to be absent from this body is to be in the presence of the Lord. We've got to leave this thing to get to where he is. But then he's going to give us a brand new model one day. Woo! But while we're here, the passing under the rod, this is going to take place upon this earth for the nation of Israel. And we as the children of God, we pass under that rod. And it's for our protection. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That don't sound like too bad a deal to me. If that's judgment, I'm saying, Lord, I'll take it. Come on, Gary. You know what song to sing. Now look here. People gonna get sick. People gonna die. I saw two men going into the funeral home that I just saw at a funeral Monday for Sister Lena, George's mama. And they said, well, here you are back again. I said, I spend a lot of time here. But one of these days, I'm going to pass under that rod for the last time. And there's going to be no more funerals, funeral homes, sickness, dying, bad days, hard days, no dark times. Praise God. Ever in the presence of God. And he's the light of the world. He's the light of the universe. Forever shall I be with the Lord.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.